This morning, I'd like to talk about two things that are related and hopefully in a certain way lead into the gospel. The first thing is you should have received in your mail this week the annual parish report. Our report isn't just a financial summary, although that is, in a certain way, that is the purpose. Canonically, the law that guides the church, every year the pastor must make available to the people a report on the last year's finances. And while the one in the parish report is not the full details, if you want those, you can call the office, it does provide a glimpse of what happened in the last year. And that's a good thing. Last year, Father Matt challenged everyone to increase their giving by the amount of a cup of coffee each week, which I thought he must drink more expensive coffee than I do. But there was a purpose to that. Two purposes, actually. The first, it had been over 3 years since our parish had finished in the black. We had run a deficit for three running years up until the fiscal year that started a year ago. And the second is, we have a real duty to pay the people who work here a just salary. Obviously, that includes our teachers, but we have more than just teachers who work here. And there's a thing that we do in the Catholic Church that really isn't right. We many times balance our budgets on the backs of our employees, whereas we have a duty, just like any one of you who work somewhere or any one of you who employ people, you have a duty and justice to pay a just salary, and so do we. And so the response of the parish this last year was beautiful. It's the first time that we have finished in the black, as I mentioned, for several years. And then we were able to raise the teachers' salaries and others who work here at Blessed Sacrament. And so in the bulletin this week, you'll see, related to that, is just a synopsis of the upcoming budget. Overall, we increased the budget, I think, around 7% for this coming year. The Finance Council, when we were talking about that, they bristled a little bit. They said that's a pretty big increase. But there are two reasons for that big of an increase. The first is inflation. Just like all of you have seen your bills go up, the church is no stranger to the same reality. And the second is we've also had an increase of parishioners of about 7% from last year. And so we're hoping that with that increase in parishioners, and hopefully the continued generous response financially to the needs of the parish, that we can make the budget that's set for this coming fiscal year that will run through next June. I find the last point about that before I move into my third point, I take very seriously the duties of a pastor in all senses, and in particular when it comes to finances. It's important that what you give is used in a just way and frugally. So we won't be just throwing money here and there and everywhere. The money that you entrust to this parish will be used in such a way that we pay people a just salary, that we mind our P's and our Q's, so that we can do what people have done for almost 100 years in this parish, is maintain what we've been given and then pass it on better than what we received. And that will be my goal, with all of you working with me together on that, to do exactly that. And then into the gospel. Now, it would seem like this sets up the theme for a money homily, but I don't want to focus on the last two words, not because they're not important, the last two sentences, excuse me. The last two sentences reveal something very poignant about what just happened in the gospel. The Pharisees and the chief priests, they're not dumb. They know exactly what they're doing. And so when St. Matthew tells us that they brought the Herodians with them. Why is that an important detail? Because the Herodians were in league with the Romans. And so they begin the whole thing by trying to false flatter the Lord. We know you are a truthful man and that you do what God wants, and you pay no attention to anybody's status. All of that was just to flatter him so that they could trick him. And so when they put the question to him about paying the census tax, it was not in any way an innocuous question. It had at its root this terrible trap, because if he said, yes, pay the census tax, then the Pharisees were there to denounce him. And if he said no, the Romans were there to arrest him. But yet the Lord threads the needle perfectly, and he exposes their hypocrisy. So I think that's an important thing for us to think about, because it's good for us to think about the one who can read our heart. We have to expunge from our hearts all hypocrisy. And I don't just mean with our dealings with others, although that's important, but even with our dealings with the Lord. Sometimes we're so carried away with what's going on in the world that we pay no attention to the Lord except for the time that we sit in church on Sunday. Other times, we sometimes tell him things like, oh, I'm going to do that, or oh, I'm going to do this, and then, as the gospel was a few weeks ago, we don't do it. But we're never pulling one over on the Lord. And furthermore, he's always trying to draw our hearts to him. And to do that, he'll use any means possible. And I'd like to propose today a particular saint for us to think about as we seek to open our heart to the Lord more fully. And that's Saint Ignatius of Loyola. Now, by training and by temperament, I am not a Jesuit. I have been formally, completely trained by Dominicans and by St. Thomas Aquinas particularly, but St. Ignatius, it could be very much a patron saint of discipleship and stewardship. And I say this because if you don't know anything about him, when he was a young man, all he wanted to do was win glory as a warrior, as a knight, and win the hand of a beautiful maiden. That was all he lived for. Now, he was Spanish in the 16th century, so he went to church like he was supposed to, and he prayed the prayers that he was supposed to. He did everything he was supposed to do in a certain way, but he had no taste for that. And then he got hit in a battle by a bullet, and it broke one leg and ripped the flesh off of the other. Obviously, in the 16th century, that's going to be a long time to recuperate. And so, when he goes into the recuperation, after he gets over all of the extreme pain of all the surgeries, he asks for the books of chivalry. And the people of the house replied, "We have none of those. All we have are the lives of the saints and the life of our blessed Lord." And so, Saint Ignatius would read a little bit about the saints, and then he would indulge his thoughts into chivalry of being a great knight and winning the beautiful maiden. But at that point, God worked on his heart. And he began to realize that when he was reading the life of the Lord or of the saints, he was filled with an abiding peace. And then when he would think about the worldly pursuits that he had given his whole life to, he recognized that while there was a fleeting joy, a fleeting happiness in that, it was short-lived, and it usually led to anxiety. So he kept reading the saints, and a little bit of the thought of the worldly things, and then he kept reading more of the saints, and more of the saints. And then God gave him a holy competitiveness, and Saint Ignatius said to himself, "I think I could do what Dominic and Francis did." And he did. He founded the Company of Jesus. And in Spanish terms, the use of the term that he had meant the Army of Jesus. He was going to gather an army to himself, and he was going to go back into the world not to win the hand of a fair maiden or to win lots and lots of acclamations from everybody, but to bring the gospel to as many people as possible. And with that 180 that St. Ignatius did, he set out to do exactly that. And to this day, there are 53 canonized Jesuit saints, men who gave their lives to follow the teachings of St. Ignatius on how to bring the gospel to others. And I think that that makes St. Ignatius a beautiful patron for stewardship and for discipleship for each and every one of us. Not because we all need to start an army, but we need to allow the Lord in our hearts in such a way that he shows us where maybe we're not being completely honest with him, even though he can read our hearts anyways. Because that ultimately means we're not being completely honest with ourselves. And to open our hearts to his love. If stewardship is the grateful response of a Christian disciple who recognizes and receives God's gift, as I mentioned last week in the bulletin, the first gift that he gives you is his very love in grace. And you have to accept that into your heart. You don't have to be St. Ignatius, but you should ask his intercession that you could have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in the very place you are at this moment in time. Whether it's starting your family, whether it's thinking about your vocation, whether it's raising your family, whether it's preparing for the next life, wherever you are, it's giving the Lord your heart so that you can be on fire with the love of Jesus Christ. Because that's what changes everything. And so that's a great invitation for us as we continue our stewardship renewal to ask St. Ignatius for that help. First, move away the things that keep us from the love of God. And then secondly, fill our heart with desire. We have to pray for that. Whatever desire you feed is the one that grows. And so we have to pray that the desire to love the Lord increases in us, and it will, if we do what has to go with that, which is living the life of grace. And ultimately, that's what transforms a parish. The life of grace in each individual united as a parish community in the bond of Christ Jesus. And it's also what prepares us one day, hopefully, to be numbered not among the Jesuits, but among the saints.